Okay, we're starting Berachot Tes, page 124 at the bottom. The last thing that the Rebbe was explaining was that what happens if somebody gets foreign thoughts during davening, they might get depressed, that they're not davening properly. The Rebbe says, don't worry about it. Not only you're not davening properly, you're really davening good. Because if you would have only one soul, and that soul is the one that davens and learns and does everything, so then you would say, okay, that shows I'm not davening well. He says, when two people fight, when one is weak, the other one's weak. When one gets strong, the other one gets stronger. So he says, what happens when a person davens? The nefesh olikis gets stronger. If the nefesh olikis gets stronger, so the nefesh abamis gets stronger. But if the nefesh olikis wouldn't be stronger, why should the nefesh abamis, why should the animal soul waste his time to get strong? So the fact that the Yetzer Hara is working hard on you during davening, the Alter Rebbe says, don't feel depressed, be happy, it shows you're davening well. And he gives an analogy, like a person who's davening, and a guy is standing opposite you to disturb your davening. So what's the Eitzah? He said, to talk to the guy? No. The Eitzah is to concentrate more, and forget about this guy that's disturbing your davening. The same thing is with the Yetzer Hara. You're davening, the Yetzer Hara bothers you, ignore it, just daven. Keep on davening, and know that the reason why the Yetzer Hara is bothering you is because you're davening good. Later on in Tanya, in Gesa Kodesh, the Alter Rebbe adds another dimension which is very interesting. The Alter Rebbe says, if a guy is disturbing your davening, if you stop to think for a minute, why is the guy disturbing your davening? Who gives the guy the ability to disturb you? Hashem. Without Hashem, the guy is not alive. Right? Who gives the guy the ability to be alive and to move and to disturb you? Hashem is giving the guy that opportunity. So the question of Rebbe says, why in the world should Hashem lower himself into a guy and give him the power and the strength to disturb you from davening? For what reason? The Rebbe says there's only one reason for that. He does it, Hashem lowers himself into this guy to disturb your davening, that you should daven even better than you did before. So what is the guy essentially doing? The guy is Hashem's messenger to make you daven better. And the same thing he says, when the Yetzer Hara is disturbing a person's davening, why is Hashem making the Yetzer Hara disturb your davening? It's only for one reason. You should daven better. And that itself is the reason why Hashem gives power to the Yetzer Hara, that it should make you daven better. So he said, what are you getting depressed about? Look what Hashem is doing to you. Hashem loves you so much, He's disturbing your davening. Why? Because He wants you to daven better. Okay, Perichov Tez, the Alter Rebbe starts a new thing. Says like this: Ach eid achas harach loshes eitz benafshi abeinim. But abeinim, sometimes have to realize one more thing. Asher lepa'amim ve'itim rabim. Sometimes and many times, yashlam timtum alev. They have what's called in Yiddish is called a verstopta heart, a blocked heart. Shenasi ke'even, that becomes like stone. That the heart can't open up. And here this is a very interesting concept. Chassidus explains like this. Hashem created us in a way that intellect stimulates feelings. Intellect stimulates feelings. You think about the greatness of something, it stimulates a love in you. You meditate into the might and power and awesomeness of something, it makes you fear that thing. That's the way the Eibishter created it. Seichel reveals midas, rather. It doesn't give birth, it reveals midas. Sometimes we have intellectual stimulation, but the heart doesn't turn on. You can meditate how great Hashem is, how wonderful Hashem is, how kind Hashem is, how benevolent Hashem is. And the bottom line of it is, nothing happens to the heart. Okay? Why? What causes that? So Chassidus explains, that's what's called timtum halev. The heart becomes blocked. You know, when a person, you say, there's an expression even in English, the person has a heart like stone. Yeah, what do you mean a heart like stone? It means, just like nothing penetrates stone, nothing penetrates this person's heart. And that's why we find a very interesting expression in davening in many, many places that really doesn't make sense. In Shmoneh Esrei at the end, in Alakai Netzor, we say like this, Psach libi b'seira secha. Open up my heart in your Torah. Or before Shema we say, Avinu avarachaman, our Father, the Father of mercy, Hamerachem, which is merciful, Rachem no aleinu, have pity on us. And then he says like this, V'sein b'libeinu, give into our heart, Bina lahaven or lahaskil, the understanding to know and to learn and to understand and so on and so forth. Yeah? Since when does the heart understand? The mind understands. We don't say in Shemoneh Esrei, Psach moichi b'seira secha, open up my mind in your Torah. We don't say in davening, v'sein b'meichenu, or b'sichleinu, bino lahoven ala haskil. Why do we speak about the heart? Or, as we find another pasuk in Chumash, it says, umaltem es or las levavchem. You should circumcise the foreskin of your heart. There's no foreskin on the heart. Or another pasuk says, umal Hashem alokech es levav, Hashem will circumcise your heart. So Chassidus explains, what does this mean? Normally, the heart needs to be softened. That something can penetrate in a way that we love and fear Hashem. What happens though if it's not working? Why isn't it working? Because we have what's called timtum halev. Timtum halev means it becomes like a rock, it becomes like a stone, it becomes blocked, and nothing penetrates the heart. So the Alter Rebbe says like this, what happens if a Beinoni is trying, they're meditating, they're davening, they're learning, they're doing everything properly, but they're not turned on to love and fear of Hashem? It's just not working. So what should you do? The person meditates, they understand God, they think about God, they learn about God, and yet it doesn't work. So he says like this, sometimes the heart becomes ke'evan, like a rock, and he cannot open his heart, the shum eifen, in any way whatsoever, la'aveda shebelev zu tefila, to the aveda of the heart. It doesn't work. And he says even more, v'gam lepa'amim, lo yochol lilochem im ha'yetzer, he's not even able to fight the yetzer hara, l'kadish atzmei b'mutalei, even to sanctify himself with those things which are permissible. Why? Because of the heaviness of the heart. Sometimes it just doesn't work. He doesn't have the strength to fight the Yetzer Hara because he's so heavy and down that he has no courage to get up. So what do you do? See, something like this. This is the advice that the Zohar gives. The Amid of Mesifta, the head of the Mesifta, the head of the yeshiva in Gan Eden says, aha, a wooden beam, that the light, fire doesn't grab onto it, you have to break it. If you have a thick piece of lumber, yeah, a thick piece of firewood, you can't take a match and put it to the firewood and expect it to ignite. That doesn't work. Why? It's too thick. It's too thick. You can't start a fire by taking a match and putting it into a fireplace and expect the logs to catch on fire. It's too thick. What do you need to do, the Zohar says? You need to bust it into smaller pieces. When you bust it into smaller pieces, the fire catches onto a smaller piece. Then it can catch onto a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger, and a little bit bigger. You have a bigger fire, then it can catch onto the whole big piece of chunk of wood. The same thing that the Zohar says on top of the page, Gufa de leisali beinahirah de nishmasa, a body that the light, the fire of the neshama doesn't catch on to, mevachinle, you have to bust the body. You have to break the body. Because sometimes, Alter Rebbe is explaining, you know why the flame of the neshama doesn't catch on to the Jew? Because the body is too thick. It doesn't mean, by the way, it weighs a lot. The body is too coarse, too thick. It's not edel enough, it's not refined enough that the fire of the neshama could catch on to it. And he says, Pirush, what does this mean? Nehera, the nishmasa, the fire of the neshama, meaning she'er ha'neshama v'aseichel, that the light of the neshama and his intellect, ein emer kol kach, is not so lit up by the person, lim shel ha'chumnis she'beguf, to control the mundane, coarse level of the body. And he says, Ashemevinu mizbeinim besichle, begdulis Hashem. Even though he understands and meditates into the greatness of Hashem completely, it doesn't grab the mind so much that it should be able to control the coarseness of the heart because of their thickness. Meaning like this, the seichel is not lit up enough to be able to ignite the coarseness of the body. It's too grub, like it's too thick that it can't do it. And then he says, that doesn't mean you don't understand. You know, there's a Yiddish expression about certain people. You could say he's a grubby jung. A grubby jung means he's a coarse lad. I mean, he's into the good time. He could be a brilliant scholar. He could know everything. But as far as his behavior goes, he's like a thick chunk of wood. There's no fire of the neshama grasping and grabbing onto it because it's too thick. And he says you can understand everything, but if there's not refinement from the side of the body, so to speak, then the fire of the neshama can't get on. See, Dalai Lama is going to explain what does the person need to do to knock, you know, take the air out of the balloon, so to speak, to be able to get the fire of the neshama, to get the fire of the neshama to be able to grab onto the body. So he says like this. Vasiba, what's the reason why the fire of the neshama can't? He gases a klipa. It's the coarseness of evil. Shemagbia atzma, that elevates itself. Al erd kedushas nefesh ulikis, and the kedusha of the godly soul. Umesateres umachshecha eira, and it blocks and it covers the light. The evil gets so thick. It's like the Dalai Lama is going to get the analogy. You can take a hot air balloon, right? You can take a balloon, blow it up, and block a door with it, and you would think the whole door is blocked. It's a bunch of hot air. All you need to do is take a little pin and stick it into the balloon, and the whole thing disintegrates because it's only hot air. And that's exactly what evil is. So he says, when evil gets too powerful to conceal, he says like this, sometimes you need to break it, and to lower it, mamish, like dirt. What is this? How do you do this? He says like this, the kveya itim, to establish times, lahashbul atzmi, to lower himself, liyas nivze be'ein of nimas, to be despicable in his own eyes. You have to sit down and start cursing yourself out how low and bad and evil and corrupt you are. Not the person, not the nefesh, but the nefesh habamis. How low it is. And he says, like it says, Lev Nishbar, a broken heart, Ruach Nishbar, a broken spirit. He says that refers to Sitrach. What do you have to break? Right, it says, Zivchei Elokim, it's a very interesting pasuk in Tillim, Zivchei Elokim, the sacrifices of God, Ruach Nishbar is a broken spirit. And as the Baal Shem Tov once gave a marshal to somebody, he says that you have different keys, you know, to different rooms, and then you have a master key. The master key opens all doors. Right? The master key opens all doors. He says a broken heart is a master key that opens all doors. And he says that's the Ruach Nishbara, which is the Sitra Achra. And he says, Shehi hi, ha'adam atmi, the yet nefesh abamis, is what gives us life. She nefesh achiyunis, the nefesh abamis, ha'machaya ha'guf, that gives life to the body of a... Because he says like this, only a tzaddik, that's what I was going to say, only a tzaddik gomor, who kills his nefesh abamis, lives only from the nefesh olakis. Normal people live from the nefesh abamis. What is our life? Our life is not the nefesh olakis. A tzaddik who kills the Yetzirah doesn't have one, so he, or transformed it to Kedush, he lives from the nefesh olakis. Nimtzeh comes out. He ha'adam after the nefesh olakis, it's nefesh abamis, sorry, nefesh abamis is the life of the person. So therefore, what do we need to do? To create a broken spirit. And in Yiddish, there's an expression, in English, it's translated, there's nothing as complete as a broken one. The more broken the person is within himself, the more of a vessel and a keli they are for the revelation of godliness. If you're full of yourself, there's no room for God. It's like the Gemara uses the expression, if you have a full vessel, you can't put anything into. If you have an empty vessel, you can fill it up. If you have a full vessel, meaning, if a person is so full of themselves, there's no way they have the ability to put godliness into them. So what does the person have to do? Just realize he's nothing. Now Trebbe is going to explain how a person should do it. I mean, what you talk to yourself about. And he says, she says, what's the life of the person? The nefesh abamis. The nefesh olakis, though we say something else. We say like this, neshama shenasata bi, every morning in brachas, right? The neshama you put into me, tahere he is pure, right? What do we say? Listen to the language. He says, the neshama that you put into me is pure. Right? That means I am not that nefesh. The neshama is being put into me. Who is the me? The nefesh abamis. So by a normal Jew, not like he says Hillel, unlike Hillel, but a regular Jew, the person's essence is the nefesh abamis. Therefore we say, the neshama, the godly soul that you put into me is pure and everything else. And the ultimate goal, by the way, of a person's creation is that the godly soul should dominate the physical soul. That is called a good Jew. An accomplished Jew. No such thing as a bad Jew. An accomplished Jew is when a person has the nefesh olakis controlling the nefesh abamis.
Possible.
Huh?
It's possible.
Sure. I mean, I don't know how many people in this room do it, but of course it's possible. If it wouldn't be possible, Hashem wouldn't command us to do it. Or we wouldn't use the word correct it, but thought, speech, and action, yeah, that we have total control over. Not we do, we could. Transforming the intellect and the midas of the Nefesh HaBamis, that only a tzaddik could do. But to control thought, speech, and action, that every single Jew has the ability to do. How do we know this? A very simple thing. Hashem gave us mitzvahs, right? And the mitzvahs are to control our thought, speech, and action. What to think, what we're not allowed to think, what we can say, what we're not allowed to say, what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do. So if Hashem commanded us, that ability we have. We can't control, though, the love and the fear of the Nefesh HaBamis. That we cannot necessarily control. We can try, we can fake it long enough. No, the Alter Rebbe said before, the end of Perek Yud, if you fake it long enough, Hashem will give it to you. From a different tzaddik.
From a what?
From a different tzaddik.
Hashem will give you what?
He'll put a neshama of a tzaddik in the pregnancy state within you, and that's going to cause that you should have real avanira.
Along with your neshama.
Right.
So it's worth it for Hashem to create a person, put them in the world, so that they, their whole lifetime, will strive to control their thoughts, speech, and action, and that is that creating a fear of its tongue? Is that what it is?
In Perek Lamed Hei, Perek Lamed, if you're bored, look it up. The Alter Rebbe asks a very, very practical question. And he says, why in the world does Hashem create a Beinoni who fights, never wins, never could win, okay? He's fighting his whole life. Without victory, why in the world did Hashem create him?
The process
if you look at the majority of everybody's lives, forget about in Torah mitzvahs, right? Most people, their entire life struggle. One way or another. Kids on their level, teenagers on their level, young adults, middle age, old adults. Everybody struggles. When a parent loves a child, they try to make their life easier. No parent enjoys when the kids struggle. Correct? God loves us, that's what it says. We're God's children. So the Alter Rebbe fundamentally asks the question, why is the Beinoni fighting, meaning struggling, challenge. And the Beinoni can never conquer. Because the Yetzer comes, wants him to sin, doesn't listen, right? The next minute he's coming back. He's not like the tzaddik that kills the Yetzer, that conquers it, transforms it. The Beinoni is in a constant struggle. And Alter Rebbe answers fundamentally that Hashem enjoys the struggle of a Jew more than the tzaddik. And he gives the analogy of bitter delicacies versus sweet delicacies. When a person faints, Alter Rebbe says in that parak, when a person faints, you don't give him sugar to smell. You give him something very sharp to smell. That revives the person. That is, for better or for worse, what it's all about. But the point is, if you look at struggling as struggling, then it's very depressing. If you look at the struggling, or let's rephrase it, challenges, tests, right, as a stepping stone to reach a higher level than you would if you didn't have the challenge, then the challenge is good. Right? If the only way you could reach higher is by challenging, being challenged, then the challenge is not a challenge in a negative way, the challenge is a good way. You know, your teacher also, your parents know, it's so much easier when kids have homework, it's so much easier just for the parents to do it for them. You know, the kids are challenged by it, they can't sit, they have no patience, you know, the regular stuff, right? It's so much easier for a parent to take away that challenge from the kid, right? Less scratching, less headaches, less, you know, all the difficulties parents go through. But any parent that does it is a behemoth. Part of growing up is to have these types of challenges. A parent who bails out their kid from every trouble that they get into is not a good parent. Outwardly, they look, oh, look at these parents. They always bail out the kids from the trouble, right? It's not good. Kid has a trouble, they have to take care of the situation themselves. Because that will elevate them to a higher level than if the parents took care of them. Hashem challenges us, a lot of challenges, for one reason. Because that's the only way we could reach a better level than otherwise.
I'm also thinking, though, in terms of the fact that Hashem miraculously creates life, and it seems like such a, like, not a major thing to, or the miracle of life of what it is. Like, if you're saying, like, if you do a small mitzvah or whatever, or quote unquote a small mitzvah, that has, like, major ramifications in,
it does.
In the cosmos or whatever.
It does.
Is that the point, though? We can't measure, we don't know, but we do it and we have faith. We know that somehow this is doing what the plan of what Hashem wants in his miraculous world.
But Rebbe and Tanya and Rebbe in countless sikhs takes it a step further. The whole reason of creation was for this one act that you're doing. The whole reason of the entire creation could be for this one challenge that you are having at this particular moment.
So does it has to be a challenge, or could it even be
no,
like something so simple that it doesn't seem consequential to you?
That's true, but the greater the challenge, the greater the accomplishment.
Hmm. So it's really the challenges that
Really elevate the person. Yeah. The challenges would elevate the person. Mm-hmm. And that's why Hashem made so many challenges to do mitzvahs. You don't remember the Tzemach Tzedek told the guy, he complained that he doesn't want to learn, so the Tzemach Tzedek, I have a bigger problem that I do want to learn. Right? I don't have a challenge to learn. You have a challenge to learn, the Tzemach Tzedek said, so you're much greater than me.
So if a person would wake up in the morning, it would be easy for them just to go, daven, do the mitzvah, da 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 da. It would not give Hashem the same
enjoyment. Yeah.
Someone who, like, really has to, like...
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Believe it or not.